Yo, what up, it's your girl V Henny Man. You already know the vibes. Welcome to the Artist Show, where we talk shit about music, entertainment, and the everyday struggles. And you know how we do, man, we always have a dope guest in the building. We have Queens hip-hop artist. He's doing amazing things, you understand? And don't get it twisted with his name. He goes by the name of MRG.
I like that. Appreciate you for having me.
Of course. We can't be calling you Mr. G over here. Like, hey,
I'm saying it on the outros now. I'm like, you saying MRG, it? Not Mr. G.
As you so should.
Like,
you
like,
should.
Like fabulous F to the AB. So right, you know, right. It's a little tagline now.
But for those that don't know, your last name starts with a G.
Yeah,
so you technically are Mr. G.
If I were like a teacher.
If you were like a teacher. Yeah, you understand? Sure. You understand? Yeah. But how you doing? How you been?
Doing great. Been busy, which is a good thing. It's always good to be busy.
Dope.
You know, the busiest people are the most successful, they say so.
Yes, busy isn't productive.
Yes.
Because I feel like anybody could be busy.
But
that's a great makes point. No sense if you're not productive.
That's a great point. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I just had to be the, you know, V-Henny and throw that in.
You understand? That's true, because you could be busy bullshit.
Nah, but listen, before we dive into anything, let's do, you know, my toast.
Let's get it, let's
you
get
understand?
It.
We have two right here. We have Bumble Cream, and then we have Bumble the XO.
Let's do it. Let's do this one right here. All right.
So I want to say congratulations. Listen, we've known each other for a while. You've been accomplishing, moving, doing what you have to do. So congratulations
on
all the accomplishments. Yeah. And this is to Elevation.
You too, likewise.
Yes, thank you.
You're very nice. You're upgrading too.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers right here. Shout out to Bumble for having us. And you know.
Smooth.
You like
take a little bit more.
You gotta get right. Smooth.
Yeah, that's smooth.
Are you a rum person?
Yeah, I think so. I am. I'm still like.
Do you like coquito?
I love coquito. It's all just right. Lactose.
Oh, part. Okay. Because I was about to say, you want to try that one?
Yeah, I'll take a sip.
Let me
of
know
this.
Your thoughts. I mean, it's just I'm surprised because it like this really tastes like.
Wow.
Right.
It's actually fire. I mean, not that it's hard. I mean, it's kind of hard to mess up coquito, but this is a top coquito. Like,
I mean, it's not like, but it's just smooth, you know, drink. So I was just like, you know, because I know, you know, like
that's
the holidays
fire.
Are coming in.
That's
you know
fire.
How us, you know, Latinos get, we want to sell coquitos and stuff. But, you know, like that Bumble Cream is banging.
I like that. I'm going to have to get one of those.
Yeah, you know, but listen, for those that, you know, are watching, right? I was diving deep into your story and everything. Mm-hmm. Learning that you were an athlete first before you were an artist. So, wait, what sports you was playing beforehand?
Mostly baseball.
Okay.
But also basketball, football. Yeah, those.
But mostly
sports.
Baseball?
Mostly baseball.
You're Dominican, right?
Yeah, so that's the baseball.
Of course,
thing.
That's why the baseball. Yeah, that makes exactly, a lot of sense. Because I feel like every Dominican, Puerto Rican, that's
it's
like.
A birthright. It's a birthright. It's like, I had the baseball bat in my hand before I could walk, so.
So how was that? My question would be, like, knowing that you was this athlete, now transitioning as you know, into your artistry. So how did that become, like, how did you end up becoming this artist beforehand, you know, like?
Definitely. So playing football in summer camp, I tore my ACL.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to play sports for about a whole damn, like, whole year. So I was like, damn, I grew up playing sports since I was 2 years old. So as a 15-year-old to have that completely removing from your life, it was like, damn, what am I going to do? And,
right.
and hip-hop and music was always there. So, you know, just freestyling on the block, freestyling in the dugout, on the field. So I just joined a rap group with my friends.
Okay.
And then I just fell in love with it.
You know? How did your parents take that?
My dad was definitely a little disappointed because he knew that my passion for baseball
was there.
Switched to
okay.
music. It
well,
was
gotcha.
There, but then it switched to music.
Okay.
So he's like, damn, like, you know, because I was nice at baseball. Like, I played with people who are in the major leagues, like starting center field of the Yankees. I was nice at baseball. Like, I got my high school record for batting average. I really did baseball, but if you're not in love with it, like anything, you can't be the best at it.
And right.
And if I'm not trying to be the best at it, I don't want to do it.
So when would you say you fell out of love with it?
I would say 16 years old, probably like right after I recovered from the injury.
Yeah. Okay. And that's when you slowly started falling in love for, exactly. for music.
Yeah.
So I feel like athletes, right? And speaking as an athlete, because I, you know, I used to play baseball, basketball, all that stuff, right? So knowing that when you're playing and you're an athlete, you're very disciplined.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you apply that mindset as an athlete into your artistry?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And
you know,
what is it that you apply to your artistry?
Just the competitiveness. I think a lot of artists who are just artists and not athletes, you know, they just say it's self-expression, which it is. But, you know, naturally, as an athlete, we want to put the most points on the board. We want to be not only, you know, obviously music is great therapy.
Right,
it's, it's bigger than just numbers. But, you know, from that athletic point of view, it's still numbers kind of matter to us. You know, we want to drop 40 points a game. We want to, you know, obviously keep an integrity. And also just being a dog and working. Like, I'm used to playing baseball throughout the year. So I just have that dog mentality of, I'm going to outwork you every single day.
Right, right, right.
And it's going to compile and compound. And
so what are some things that you notice as this artist now where you're like, all right, I'm going to outwork you compared to other artists? Or what is it like, as not outwork you, like the discipline that you're applying to right now? Like, because I'm sure right now you're surrounded by a lot of people.
Yeah, I just think the ability. No, that's definitely a good question. And I don't want to sound like I'm.
No.
Talking down on artists, but I feel like stereotypically certain artists could be too like too go with the flow almost, and I'm like, nah, it's time to lock in. You know what I'm saying? It's time to get it done. Like, let's just get it done. You know? So I just think having that mentality of
The execution
and just wanting to win by all means necessary.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you started around what, 16? Rapping?
17? Yeah, 16. 16? I mean, seriously, 16.
Seriously,
well,
16.
I joined a rap group.
Right.
When I was
16, or it was, you know, for fun.
Yeah.
When would you say you started taking it seriously then?
I would say 17, 18.
Okay.
Long story short, I was in this rap group, and like the leader of the rap group, he was family friends with DMX's entertainment lawyer. For his birthday, DMX's entertainment lawyer took us to DMX's studio in Yonkers, and he heard me rap, and he kind of pulled me to the side like, yo, you got a gift, bro. Like, you got to take this, you know, if you love it, take it seriously.
Right.
I want to give you this opportunity to be on DMX's album. DMX was locked at the time. Rest in peace, DMX. He had an empty verse on his album, and I ended up going to Harlem to recording a verse for DMX's album. Fast forward, DMX got out of jail and did something at LaGuardia and ended up getting arrested again.
Okay.
And then I think the label just dropped him because of all the legal charges and just,
ooh,
you know, shit just being business. And the song we did never left the shelf.
So right now the song is just on a shelf.
Yeah, the song is out floating on the internet.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
With you and DMX?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was leaked?
It was leaked.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the response on, like, for this track?
It was good response. I think one of the people on the label put in like a record pool, and it was DJs like commenting on the record.
Okay.
I don't think it ever saw YouTube or anything. But yeah, now it was good response. It was like, it was my kind of cosign from God, like, nah, you can really do this. And you know, I wasn't polished at the time, so I'm kinda, you know, not grateful it didn't happen, but the universe is a lot smarter than we are, so everything happens for a reason. I can't really.
So you said you wasn't polished at the time.
Yeah.
Define polish as a, because I feel like there's a difference between, you know, you have your levels of being this artist, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, like you started from the underground, independent, underground is two separate things, I feel like. So being the underground artist, working your way up, and then you're at this place of like, again, polishing yourself. So.
Yeah.
What's your definition of being a polished artist?
I think finding your sound, being able to make songs.
Okay.
At the time, I was just an artist who had bars.
And you was just recording.
Yeah, a lot of people have bars, but can you make a song?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can go on Sway and have an amazing freestyle, but can you make a hit?
Right, right, right.
So I didn't really know how to make hits until as of, you know, last couple years. And With that being said, if the song were to have, you know, came out, I wasn't in a position I felt like to make hit records
right.
like I am now. So now when, it's just like not copy and paste, but like I have a
formula.
I got my sauce. So it's like
and you be doing songs for the ladies. And then you be with that English Spanish, you know, you be like, tati quieto, mami, yo chica, que te pica.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand? I want to be like you when I grow up.
Hey, I feel you.
No, but you know what's crazy, right? Because I feel like in this music industry, right? Or, in this music industry, you're dealing with so much egotistical energies.
Yeah.
You're dealing with people who want to see you do good, but not better than them.
Definitely.
You know, you're dealing with a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
So how is it that you, how do you go about not personalizing these type of energies or these type of thoughts?
Yeah.
Especially that, you know, you've been viral a few times already.
Yeah. I mean, I do personalize it, but it's how do you channel that personalization or whatever the word is, like, do I reply or do I just put it into my craft and let the work do the talk, you know? So I got a little list of everybody.
So when was the last time you personalized something?
Personalize it every day.
Yeah?
Every day. Why not? I mean, obviously I'm going to get it done regardless, but when I do feel overwhelmed, which is quite often, it's like, nah, I got to make sure that person eat those words, you know what I'm saying?
Just okay.
Same thing with the sports stuff, you know?
No, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, it's part of the territory.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so I feel like that makes you, you know, that gives you that tough skin.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if you want to be this artist, because I'm sure you have, I'm sure you got in like, why are you rapping? Why are you this?
Yeah,
or, you know, like, why, you know, whatever it is, aside from the compliments. And it's crazy how social media sometimes amplify the negative comments opposed to the positive.
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, negativity spreads faster.
Right.
Most of the world is negative, unfortunately. So naturally, negative is going to, you know.
It sucks because I said one time, somebody corrected me, and I was just like, I get what you're saying, because it's like negative wins. And it's like, I'm not saying the negative wins, because it doesn't, because I feel like positive can definitely overcome the negativity.
Definitely.
But negative does have a powerful grab on many.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, I think just the way the whole system, and I mean, that's a whole convo, but
right,
you know,
I know,
set up to put people down and for them to be negative and to be crabs in a bucket, you know?
Right.
So it sucks, but that's just what it is.
No, and it is. I'm glad that you don't have that mindset and you understand that you just got to push forward and stay disciplined.
Yeah.
I'm constantly speaking on instant gratification and like the perception of social media. And I remember watching a clip of you mentioning how you had bought in your early few years back, you bought followers, right? So I want to know with that, and you know, for those that know, he bought followers and then you had unfollowed them.
You removed the
followers.
Yeah, so at the time I had 2,000 followers. And
right.
I'm like, damn, like I'm trying to grow my following. So I bought 2,000 more followers. Then I had 4,000 followers. And when I started posting, I'm like, damn, my engagement just... And I realized, oh shit, if I buy followers, now I have to buy likes. Now I have to buy everything. So I'm like, yo,
I was going to ask you, like, what is it that you learned from that?
No, I just learned that it's shortcuts are actually expensive in the long term. So, you know, it's actually more efficient to just marathon it out and keep the numbers real, you know?
No, right.
I mean, don't get it twisted, not to interrupt. Like, when you get so big, and, you know, labels, obviously,
they're going to put the
streaming on it. But at that point, you have such a big organic, a couple million streams for a little baby or Drizzy doesn't matter because they're already going to organically do 20 to 30 million streams. So
what is it that you do now? Because you learned this lesson, you realized, oh, I got to buy the likes. The engagements are not the same. So now, where you're at now, how is it that you engage? Or how is it that you, you know, like, just compete, gain new followers organically?
Yeah, just doing what I've been doing. Content, visuals, and... You know, it's a compounding effect. So you might not see results till 5 years in, but on that fifth year, everything going to go viral. Shit going to compile. So I just keep doing what I'm doing, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
When did you start realizing the elevation within your brand?
when I started putting my music on Facebook in 2020, I started getting like people messaging me about, you know, how my music helps them get through their day. Like certain people say, my music saved your life. I was sick on live one day and people would start shipping me stuff. And I was like, oh shit, this shit is getting real. Like,
right.
And that was actually during COVID actually. So I think that was a definitely me building that Facebook fan base was career transforming.
You still use Facebook? Because I feel like Facebook.
Nah, I don't use it personally, but for music I do.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, for New York, right? It's like a lot of older people, I feel like.
Okay.
Like maybe our Theos and Theas are on Facebook.
Right.
Connecticut, Jersey, Midwest, people still on Facebook. And yeah.
Yo, you're getting a lot of compliments on how you. And I feel like a lot of Latin artists are doing that, but I feel like I'm seeing so much compliments on how you're taking both English and Spanish and just, you know, like a hybrid of lyrics of like lyricism when it comes to the English and Spanish. You understand?
Right. No, definitely.
What's your, as this artist, as a Latino, what's your end goal as far as your brand?
There's no end goal or start goal. It's just who I am. I used to, you know, even though I'm not fluent, believe it or not, I used to listen to more Spanish music than English music, you know, in the early 2000s.
I'm not fluent.
If I was fluent, I'd be doing probably full-blown reggaeton. So that's why the hybrid stuff works for me, because it's like I have an ill accent. And
so
it
you speak like
good.
Me? Like, I'd be like.
Yeah, I'd be on the choppy shit. Like,
I'd be very choppy.
Yeah, I'd be choppy with it. But
I'd be like, mira tú, how you doing?
Yeah. No more than that, but
my Spanish is not very good looking, you know?
I go to DRPR, live there for like a summer, and then force to speak it and be more fluent. But I used to just I was showering today listening to Monchi Alexandra. Like, I just listen, I love Spanish music.
Right.
It's never an end goal. It's just, I mean, now that you put it that way, it's like, I don't know why I'm like one of the only people to reach, not I don't know why, but it's true. It's crazy that there are no other, not that there are no other, but they're not more.
Right.
Latinos, we've been in hip hop since day one. So it's crazy that I guess there aren't more hybrid. I feel like I'm one of the few, except for Big Pun.
Right.
I can't name anybody else aside from myself who's done it at a certain level. And I'm nowhere near Pun's level yet. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the greatest. So, you know, it's just, I'm just surprised. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah, no, because you, like I said, you be rapping and you hear, you know, what the. And it's crazy because, like.
Now what? Everybody's doing it. Not to interrupt you. Now people are telling me, "Yo, make Spanish music." I'm like, "Nah, bro. I'm not out here chasing."
But you can't. Why you don't want to make Spanish? You can.
I can, but it's then I'm gonna abandon all my English fans. It's like I'm not gonna let an industry tell me how to make music. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. I understand.
Because I'll get comments like Canadians, Americans who are not Spanish, and then it's like, "Yo, I'm a fan of your music, but now you're doing. If you go full blown Spanish." Then it's harder for them, obviously, to understand, you know?
Gotcha. I don't think you should go full-blown, Latin artist. Yeah. But I think, you know, what do I know, right? I would say maybe in the long term, try at least, you know, you see how Drake does it sometimes?
Definitely.
And it's not, like, it's here and there. Like, because I'm like, that's a whole, it's not, I don't feel like you would abandon your fan base because it's, I feel like your fan base will always be loyal. Like, for example, Selena. When Selena went from Spanish to English,
right?
It's a lot of people who didn't know English.
Mm-hmm.
Are her fan base.
Definitely.
And they were like singing her songs, you know? And I'm just, you know, like not, you know, I'm just saying like, I understand she's a whole different genre, but what I'm trying to say is that I feel like people are going to follow you.
No, I agree with you. It's just when you build in a house, I'm still in the building. Obviously, I've done a lot of building and I'm grateful to be here, but as I continue to build the house, I want to make sure I fully dominate English and then I could do the full-blown Spanish songs. I don't want to do it while I'm still on the come up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, but nah, hell yeah, I want to do I might do a full-blown Spanish project in the future. No, it's definitely in the plans.
Okay.
It's just right now.
Okay.
For the upcoming songs. Okay. You know, like for the upcoming songs, I'm going to still do my Spanglish, but it's still going to be predominantly English.
Have you performed outside of New York before?
Yeah. Had a show in London last August.
How was that?
It was dope, man.
That's when you met up with
Yeah, Big Narsty, Ed Sheeran, Papoose, Mad Random, but yeah, shout out my guy Narsty.
He was
with
Ed Sheeran. Yo, to say that he was with Ed Sheeran is wild.
Yeah, he moved like the president, yo. He had 10 security guards, like crazy.
That's how you know you made it.
Like, yeah, Ed Sheeran, top five artists in the world for sure.
For real. Like,
and he could rap too. Like, Ed Sheeran, hell yeah. Sheeran is nasty.
Seriously? I never knew that.
Ed Sheeran is nasty.
Like, his freestyle, he literally writes.
It's crazy. Yeah, he'll outbar a lot of rappers nowadays for sure.
What on the street is that he was trying to battle you?
Huh? Ed Sheeran?
Nah,
he don't want no smoke. Say, actually, I don't know, baby. I don't want no smoke.
You said
Ed Sheeran.
Speaking of smoke, right? So, you as this hip hop artist, and you've been in this game for a minute. Yeah. What's your intake on hip hop right now, where it stands? Because, you know, we just hit our 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have people leaving statements on where is that, how they feel about it.
Yeah.
So, knowing where you started, how you began to where is that now, what's your intake?
Hip-hop is amazing. I mean, it's global. It's, I think, the top genre in the world, I believe. I think.
You sure you don't think it's dying out, as they're saying?
It's tough, right? Because it's like, it's fathered so many different sounds. And
right.
Like, hip-hop is a culture, right? You got hip-hop, b-boying, DJing, you know, I know breakdancing, b-boying, same thing. But it's like, the new music is an extension of hip-hop. I don't know if, it's all like semantics, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a tough convo, because it's like, hip-hop has birthed new genres. There's so many sub-genres of hip-hop. It's like, what is hip-hop? Is hip-hop bars? Is Ice Spice hip-hop? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Is she pop music?
Okay.
You know, like, I think she's hip-hop personally, but it's a new genre that maybe you could argue isn't hip-hop. It could just be pop. So I think hip-hop is, I think when something reaches such a big audience, it naturally evolves and gets transformed into so many other things that you may not even be able to see what it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
So there's amazing music out there. It's just up to, you know, unfortunately, this is a business at the end of the day.
Right.
The golden age hip hop is no longer as relevant today in mainstream culture, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but, okay, I know you get, because I feel like you gave me the PG-13 version. But, like, what's hip hop to you? Like, how do you define hip hop? Do you define it as bars, lyricism, or are you?
I do.
Okay.
I think hip hop is, you know, wordplay, lyrics, being clever. I think, me personally, I don't know. I just feel like as an artist, it's hard. It's a hard conversation. You know, hip hop's a lifestyle. Hip hop is a voice for the voiceless, you know, especially it started in the Bronx.
Right.
Black and Puerto Rican and Latino people not having a voice, so they use music to express themselves. Now hip hop is commercial and it's almost pop music, and there's nothing wrong with that. When I brought up Ice Spice, I'm not saying that she's not hip hop. I'm just saying she's taking an evolved form of it and going global with it. Like, I think I'm proud of Ice Spice as a Latino from New York. She's putting on for the culture.
No,
I
agree with you. Like, with the whole fact of Ice, did you mention her?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, at the end of the day, hip hop, like you said, it birthed so many subgenres. So for me, it's like, I get it. Because look at when Migos started, a lot of people were talking trash, talking shit, and they were just like, that's mumble rap. And then look at now, like, Offset, you know, like, so I get that. Looking at your social media and everything like that, what's a misconception people have of you based on your account?
That's a good question. Looking at my social media, I don't know. I think in general, not even me, I just feel like everybody has, I think they think artists are these loud, super hype.
Okay.
Extroverted
so
people.
So they think you are.
Actually, nah, I don't know. I feel like in general, I'm more mellow, low key, relaxed, even though I do the turn up drill and.
Right.
Yeah, I think
So that's the misconception people have of you.
Yeah, I think people think I'm more
that you a rah rah, you a thought boy.
Rah, rah,
they be thinking you a thought boy.
Maybe, Maybe. You have to ask him, honestly. I can't speak for the people.
You got to put that in your pose, you know what I'm saying? Do you think I'm a thought boy?
Right, right. Yes,
you know what I'm Because you be in the clubs, you probably bottles and the toys, so you know.
True.
But, nah, you know, but, you know, again, like, the fact that elevations that you've been doing within your career has been amazing. And,
thank you.
Me personally, I'm proud to see the elevation because, again, it's not easy being an artist in New York.
Yeah,
you know, it's oversaturated.
Definitely.
You know, and you got to be consistent. You have to be disciplined. You understand the business aspect to it.
Right.
So, you know, continue. Lastly, I want to know, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Before I answer that, actually, this is important because you say misconception. I think since a lot of the drill Jersey club, people think I'm not like... like I won't outbar their favorite artists. Mm. Like I started out, like I said, doing a record on DMX's record. So, you know, when it comes to artists who do the golden age, golden era hip hop, I'll still out rap everybody. It's just
I'm just
making more entertaining.
Talk that
turn
talk.
Turn up music, you know. So
yo, MRG say he wants to battle Escherin, yo. You understand?
Nah, I mean we just.
I'm just playing. It's just that's.
Nah, I'm not backing down from Escherin. I'm just saying we making.
Let's make this viral.
Yeah, right. For real. Shout out Escherin. Something I did for the first something. What was it?
Was the last time you did something for the first time?
I just did a record with an Australian artist.
Okay.
Shout out to Cahooks. We about to go shoot the video right after this. So yeah, it's my first time teaming up with an Australian artist.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
International.
Yeah. International. Yeah.
I mean, you've been international. You understand? So
true, but not Australia.
Australia is different.
Deep.
Are you planning on going out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just be careful out there. The animals be a little wild.
Kangaroos. Kangaroos be doing life sentences out there.
The spiders is wild. The alligators, bro. And you Dominican, so I know you got, you understand? They probably look at you like, yo.
I'm staying in the city.
Yes, I said chicharron de pollo, you understand?
That's for real. I'm staying in the city.
That's wild. Be careful when you go out there. But listen, for those that are watching, where can they find you? Where can they find your music? All that good stuff.
Definitely. Instagram, just at MRG. Yeah, you can search MRG everywhere, and I'm there, you know.
And y'all already know the vibes. There's no reason why you shouldn't be following him. All his information will be in the description box below. All you got to do is tap, you understand, follow, subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. And it's your girl, V. Henny, the artistry, and we out. Rock out with your cocks out, jam out with your clam out.